Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And a very good morning. It's the Generations Radio podcast radio show, the weekly show that usually is hosted by Generations Magazine publisher Percy Ihara. But Percy got called away at the last minute today, and late last night I was informed that I get to do the show today, and I'm most happy to do it. Got a couple of guests, both on the telephone with us today. First of all is communications consultant Don Marie Webster. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Marilyn.
Good to have you on here. Thank you very much for taking some time out on a Friday morning to chat with us here. You had an article that appeared in Civil Beat on Wednesday. Do you want to kind of tell us about that and what prompted you to write that?
Well, actually, it appeared in the Star Advertiser in the editorial section, though I have published in Civil Beat as well. The headline says, "Look, Identify, Ask, and Take Action." And that "look, identify, ask" is a quote directly from the chair of the Republican Party, not because I'm endorsing the Republican Party, far from it, but because it just seemed to me galling that a party that does not have, is not willing to denounce the indecencies of its members or leaders should offer itself as the solution to the issues that are facing us here in Hawaii. And there are a whole range of issues. And, you know, I think I look at the world through multiple lenses as a grandmother, as a mother, as a teacher, and as a baby boomer, and as someone who feels intensely responsible for the peril in which we live right now with the climate crisis, with our fixation with weapons and with war. And so it seems to me, it's the poet's line about time's winged chariot hurrying near. Mm-hmm. The older I grow, the more I feel the pressure of time running out. And so writing an op-ed like that, that basically is a call to action, makes me feel like I'm doing a tiny little bit to turn the tide and to make this a better place.
You're you're a professor at UH, is that correct?
Yes, I teach in the Honors Program. I'm an adjunct faculty member.
Okay, so that means you're with young people all the time, basically. What's the feeling there? What's the atmosphere among students?
You know, these last 2 years have been particularly tough for them, as it has been for all students, what with the pandemic. I mean, if you think about it, students being expected to take classes 5 or 6 at a time, some of them, and these are high-achieving students, all online, in Zoom, without the usual social contact, is tough. And yet, I have been so impressed by the quality of the students and by their earnestness and their desire to learn. But there is an intensity to their struggle that keeps them from always being as attentive to what is going on in the world around them. And one of the reasons I teach is to sort of be this bridge between the corporate world, where I've had a career. Mm-hmm. I've run a small business downtown, a communications agency. I've worked for IBM. So I've got that business experience, but I'm also someone who's a PhD in English. So I'm inherently a teacher. And one of the things I see as I crisscross these two worlds is a great disdain in the corporate world for academics and the ivory towers, and a great disdain in the academic world for the evils of business. And, you know, the reality is that we've got to find some middle ground. And one of the things I find when I teach my students, like I'm doing a junior seminar on leadership right now, they're hungry. They're hungry for ways in which they can make a difference. They're hungry for ways. They're very aware of the struggles they're facing. They're very aware that, they're having to grapple with a lot as they try to graduate. And so they seize an opportunity when it's presented to them. And I think part of the burden we as baby boomers have is to open those doors, to make those opportunities present. And I've been, you know, I had a discussion recently on Zoom to introduce a candidate for public office. And one of the people who responded to my invitation was a student who's currently at Yale. And I said, you know, the time difference is going to be really great. How are you going to tune in? She says, oh, don't worry, I'll be back in Hawaii. Well, as it turned out, she wasn't back in Hawaii because she got ensnared in all of the travel problems and was stranded in an airport in Chicago. And from the airport in Chicago, she called in to be part of that conversation.
Oh, that's great.
And it's so filled me with hope and optimism, you know?
Do you find... Because of the big division right now in the United States between the right and the left, do you find that division as strong among college kids?
Not so much. I think in general, you know, I find younger people far more logical, far more willing to see things as they are, and come to to rational conclusions about what is the right way forward without the kind of the shrill partisan, grandstanding that we see among people of my generation. I think my generation has gotten so intoxicated with power and with being in power for so long, which is why things like term limits, for instance, matters, you know, that we've lost touch with the fact that we are leaving a planet that's warming up. We are leaving, you know, a planet that has become so gluttonous about fossil fuel. We've made housing almost unaffordable. A lot of them will not be able to stay on and live in the place that they grew up in. And yet, we're not really doing enough to make their lives possible. You know, one of the people I most admire is a man called Brody Lockhart, who lives in Kailua. He runs, he heads 350.org in Hawaii. And he always ends his email with this quote from Ansel Adams that says, it's horrifying that we have to fight our government to save the environment.
Yeah.
Right. But that's kind of, you know, and Ansel Adams said that quite a long time ago. But right now, that's even more urgent. When you look at the disingenuous speeches being made about corruption, oh my God, I didn't know there was corruption in Hawaii. I thought it only happened on the mainland. I mean, come on. You know, we wait till the feds come in before we can uncover what's right in front of our noses. So I think there is a call to be more attentive. And when I put these kinds of challenges in front of my students and I say, what is the right thing to do? I'm always astonished at how clearly they see the rights and the wrongs of things in ways that people in power don't seem to be able to. And so I keep hoping that I keep encouraging them. Many of my students, I've encouraged them to get published. They've got opinion pieces in Civil Bee. They've got opinion pieces in Star Advertiser. And they're always a little skeptical. Will anybody really want to publish me? And I say, absolutely, because I give them these exercises to write, you know, to people to interview and to do reports on. And what I see coming back is publisher worthy. And they really are the voices that are going to hold speak truth to power and hold leadership accountable.
You and I, at least, I think you already admitted that you're a baby boomer, and I'm certain,
yes.
And I'm certainly a baby boomer. But what about the correlation? But if you think back to the days when we were that age, when we were in college,
right.
And we were very idealistic, and then how did this happen? Our generation is as bad as the generation we were complaining about.
Yeah, I don't remember complaining. I grew up in Malaysia. I did my master's. I did my first degree in Malaysia. Did my master's at UCLA, and then many years later, as an old lady, basically finished my PhD at UH in Manoa. So I've had sort of the experience of different locales. And growing up, I always felt a great sense of gratitude. I was the daughter of a newspaper man, a journalist.
Oh.
And I always, you know, we were not rich, but I felt very rich because of the kinds of discussions that were going on at home. I'm a political junkie because I grew up doing my homework while listening to my parents talk about politics. And there was always a sense that you've got to get involved. My parents didn't waste a lot of time complaining. They talked about different positions, but they were always out doing things. And I'm a great believer in doing things, because it's so easy to sink into a well of despair. But when you look at what's going on around the world, it's so easy to give into despair. And it almost has to be, you have to choose love. You have to choose action. And it's kind of what I try to communicate with my students. And, you know, I'm always heartened by the response. I have two adult children myself. My son is almost 40 and my daughter is 35. And, you know, they keep me grounded as well. So it's not a one-way thing. I mean, I try to open doors for my students, whether it's doors to publishing or doors to job opportunities or doors to new thinking. But they also open doors to me in terms of what's going on in their life, what consumes them, what worries them.
Do you?
It's very much a two-way street.
Right. Along those lines, will you run into somebody, maybe a friend or a friend of a friend, that is, what you said, kind of ignoring it all and got their head in the sand? What do you say to them to make them a little bit more aware of? Do you have any tricks?
You know, Marilyn, this is the thing that we often talk about in class as well. I get so frustrated when someone says to me, when I ask them, are you a registered voter? Because we're not being shelled by the Russians, but we do enjoy the benefits of democracy. So to say that I'm not interested in politics, to me is such an impertinence, you know, because it's politics that ensures that we have water coming out of our taps. It's politics that ensures that we have roads that we can drive on. It's politics that keeps the traffic lights on and our schools running. And how well or how badly that is done depends on who we elect into office and who creates the public policies that touches all our lives. And what's missing is people making the connection between their voting or their failure to vote and the fact that you've got people in power that are actually shaping your life, whether you care about politics or not. So all things being equal, better you care. Better you have a say in who it is that supposedly represents you. So I say to them, if they say to me, I'm not interested in politics, I always respond by saying, do you like seeing water coming out of your tap? You know, and that particularly resonates now with everything that's going on with Red Hill.
Exactly.
Because if not for the community outcry, and my God, I work with the advocates that have been working on this issue. They have been crying about this and screaming about this for years, and look how long it took for anyone to pay attention. We waited for disaster before we acted. So it just seems it's untenable to say I'm not interested in politics when you want clean, drinkable water.
Or roads to drive on without potholes, or good schools for your
kids. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or not have a law that says you're entitled to kill somebody, like the ill advised stand your ground law that somebody was actually pushing in the legislature and actually had a champion in it. But fortunately, that has died.
If of course, our magazine is directed to seniors primarily and to their caregivers,
right,
and their offspring and stuff. And a lot of seniors aren't, they don't vote, and they have a lot of excuses. I can't get to the polls. It's too difficult. I don't know how to do a mail-in ballot. I don't know how to request a mail-in ballot and those kinds of things. Do you have any ideas in that area?
Actually, I wouldn't hold our seniors. I wouldn't be too hard on our seniors, because I think they are a reliable voting bloc. If anything, the voting population in Hawaii, as I think it's true nationally, just skews older. But the question about ease of voting, Hawaii really has. We should see voting, the rate of voting, go up really significantly, because we now have vote by mail throughout the state. All you have to do is register, and you get your vote, your ballot comes to you in the mail, and all you do is you fill it in, you put it back in the mail, and it's done. So really, there's no reason not, you know, to throw away that opportunity to make your voice heard. And I think seniors particularly have got a great reason to want to get engaged, because so many of the issues that I've touched, I've worked on, like Kupuna Care, for instance, the idea of care for the elderly, the kind of things that IGN Poo is doing nationally that we try to do here, the idea of paying for caregivers, these are things that concern seniors, that touch their lives. And it's important that the people who are making policies hear from the seniors directly. So I hope every senior listening to your program or reading your magazine makes sure that they vote and gets their children and grandchildren to vote too.
Okay. And aside from voting, are there other things that seniors can get involved with in the community?
Oh, very much so. I think, you know, one of the last 2 years, the state capitol has been closed, which I understand all of the anxiety about COVID, but it was closed for far too long. And we know that because lobbyists were able to walk in and out, and yet ordinary people couldn't. Now, and often when a bill is up for consideration, the window of opportunity for testimony is very small. It's like a couple of days, and you will see a flurry of emails going out to everybody, please send in your testimony by 9 a.m. tomorrow. So that's something, even if you are confined at home, you can do, any senior can do very easily. If you've got access to a computer or to a phone, all you have to do is create an account with capital.hawaii.gov, create an account, and look for the issues that touch seniors. Ask for alerts. They'll send you an alert when something is moving. And if it requires testimony, sending it doesn't have to be long. It can be two lines. Representative, senator, pass this bill because, or do not pass this bill because. Because it's the experience from the heart and the description of the reality of the life and challenges that seniors face in this place where we have an increasingly aging population, that lawmakers need to hear from. They need to hear it directly, and they need to be held to account because, you know, we're coming out of a pandemic, and you would think, for instance, that health issues would be right at the top. We've got more than 60% of Hawaii adults suffer from some ongoing chronic disease, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or cancer. These are huge challenges. So you would think that the health chairs of the legislature would seize on anything that has a preventative measure to it. For instance, I was working with the Hawaii Institute of Public Health Institute, and they were trying to get this tiny fee put onto sugar-sweetened beverages because there's been a huge spike in obesity. Our seniors should worry about what's happening to their grandchildren. 1 in 4 middle and high school kids are obese or close to obese. These are frightening statistics. It does not put them on a path to good health. And yet we could not get a hearing on the bill, Malin. We could not even get a hearing on the bill. Not that they didn't pass it. They weren't interested in hearing it. And, you know, this is something that lawmakers need to hear, not just from advocates or from institutions or nonprofits like the Public Health Institute, but from grandparents who are worried and parents who are worried. Because we want them, after they spend an hour on the field playing soccer, not to go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee, but to go get a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, hearing those voices directly from seniors is what always makes the difference with lawmakers.
Yes, so be more active, be more conscious of what's going on, and probably have more discussions with your friends. Maybe people in assisted living facilities and retirement homes can maybe start some discussions among themselves if they haven't already.
Absolutely. I think that would be, and just think of the meaning it would bring to life, you know? As you grow older, I mean, yesterday I listened to, I was at, honored to be at the swearing-in of Mililani Trust as the newest trustee at OHA. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she said was, she says, you know, at this stage as a kupuna, I was wondering what was I going to do next. I didn't think I'd be facing this position, But I'm grateful to God and to the other trustees for putting their faith in me, because in whatever time I've got left, I'm going to move things forward. And that's kind of how I feel as my own time runs out, you know? I mean, it's not to sound morbid, but the sense of, you know, you're on your last legs, that's a terrible way to put it, but you know you're on the final third of your life, let's say, or the first. How do you bring meaning to it? Whether you have family or not, I think the greatest sense of meaning comes from knowing that you're leaving the world a better place than when you arrived in it.
Exactly.
It's the most satisfying and the most, because when you think about it, our time on Earth is so limited.
And our time, Dawn, on this interview is also limited, so we're going to have to break.
I'm
here.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. No, tell us a little bit about our following guest, Sergio.
Oh, I met Sergio because I sometimes am invited to train a core of, you know, aspiring leaders in a program called Kuleana Academy that is organized by the Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action. He was one of the students and one of the people that was accepted into the program, and I did a media relations and workshop on, you know, getting your message out with them. And he struck me as quiet and thoughtful, but I didn't know a whole lot about him. And then one day I put a notice on Facebook saying, can anyone come help me on Fridays? I'm volunteering at the Catholic Worker House at St. Elizabeth's in Kalihi, where we give out bags of food to the hungry and the homeless. And I had a 2-hour shift and I needed someone else to help me with that. And Sergio responded. Mm. And so in those 2 hours that we spent together, we would talk about things. And I learned about his commitment to workers' rights, his commitment to, he was a legal aid attorney. He is always, you know, he's been part of this, I think something called the Hawaii Workers' Justice Organization. So he's always had, instinctively has gone towards the kinds of things I care about most, which is giving voice to people who don't have, or whose voices are often not heard. And then, of course, I heard that he was running for office. And so I don't work directly on his campaign, but I just think on every position, whether it's Red Hill or workers' rights or living wage, we are, you know, he spoke to the things that I consider important. He spoke for justice. He speaks for the community, and most of all, one of the things that most impressed me is that he's refusing to take money from corporations or from PACs, which in America, you know, as someone who's a nationalized American and seen politics anywhere, it seems like you can't get elected unless you're rich and have a huge bank account. Well, he doesn't have a huge bank account. He's the son of an immigrant, a single mother, and so it's very gutsy to be trying to take on an established incumbent with a lot of money. And it's just, I like the spirit. I like the fact that he's willing to get in the arena and fight and give it his all. And so I think it's good that we have choices. And he presents a very viable choice to represent us in D.C.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk to him in just a minute. We got to take a break, and I have to say goodbye to you, Dawn. But is there a way for people to contact you through social media, or if somebody wants?
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter at FreeCatholic808. Yeah, I'm a dissident Catholic, so I'm all for LGBT rights and everything else that isn't necessarily approved by the church. But
okay.
So at FreeCatholic808, or I'm on Facebook at Dawn Morais Webster.
Okay.
MORAIS, yeah.
Very good, very good. And that address for people that want to submit testimony, they just go to capital.hawaii.gov?
Hawaii.gov, yes. And create an account. It's very simple. They just put in an email address and put in your password, and they're ready to go.
Okay, great. Dawn, it was a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate all the information, and have yourself a good day.
You too, Malin. Thank you.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
You've worked hard to make it to this point, faithfully paying your mortgage and putting money into your home. Now you can tap into this equity with the reverse mortgage loan designed specifically for those age 60 and older. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. Let him show you how you can use a reverse mortgage to gain a new source of funds, just as you would with a traditional home equity loan that you would get at a local bank, but with additional benefits. Give him a call at 808-234-3117, and he'll show you how a reverse mortgage could be an important tool for you. He lives and works right here in Hawaii and understands Hawaii borrowers. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
Back again, we are with Generations Radio, our magazine podcast show that is heard right here every Sunday morning. And also, after a couple of days, it'll be posted online on our website, which is generations808.com. Had a good conversation with Don Webster a few minutes ago, and we talked a lot about different issues, particularly dealing with seniors and voting, the baby boomers and all of that, and how people can get more involved. On the phone with me right now is Sergio Alcubilla. Did I get it right?
Yes, perfect.
Am I good? Thank okay. You. Good morning. Thanks
perfect.
For
good morning.
Thanks for being with us here this morning on this good-looking Friday. We'll be on the air with this on Sunday morning, but we want to say congratulations on putting your hat in the ring and getting started in the world of politics. I guess this is your first try. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, this is my first race, and I think putting your name in the hat is just half the battle.
Don mentioned a few minutes ago that you're not coming from a very wealthy campaign chest at the start, so it's kind of uphill for you, I guess.
Yes, you know, as a first-time candidate from someone that's not born into wealth or not born into power. It is an uphill battle, for someone like me, just your average everyday person, money in politics, that's a barrier to entry for so many of us.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what your relationship is with the senior community and what you'd like to express to them.
Actually my mom, so she is now part of that generation, part of our baby boomer generation. So mm-hmm. she just celebrated her 70th birthday this past October. So, but she's been with me every single morning, sign waving on the streets, going door to door and knocking. But, when I hear her talk about issues related to insurance, some of the confusion, she talks about is, does she qualify for this under Medicare, or does she qualify for dental or vision or hearing? Those are some of the things that, it worries me that someone like my mom, who's worked her whole life, immigrated from the Philippines, raising six kids here in the U.S. by herself, that now instead of enjoying her golden years, she's worried about health insurance and worried about it. Okay.
Give us a little bit about your background.
I'm originally born in the Philippines. I immigrated to this country when I was 7 years old. My mother was a nurse. My dad was in the military. I've been a public interest attorney. Previously with the Legal Aid Society of Hawaii, where I was part of the leadership team, and then later as a staff attorney. So my work has really been in the community, just helping our most vulnerable members, especially with their legal needs, and doing whatever we can or doing whatever I can to make life a little bit easier for people here in Hawaii.
And your reason to get into politics?
That's a great question. My seven-year-old son asked me that question almost every day when he sees me going out to sign a wave or to meet with our neighbors, and I tell him I want to help others. explained a little bit about taxes and how people in Congress or in office will decide how money's spent and the laws that impact us. So it can either help his school and his classmates, or it can go to something else that may not help a lot of people. But either way, there's people that's going to decide what the priorities are and how money is spent. So, I tell them we need to be at that table where these choices are made. Otherwise, someone else is going to choose for us. I think if I can explain it to a seven-year-old kid, and I hope others can understand, really, why it's important to be involved in our politics and why it's important for us to be involved in our democracy.
One of the things we were talking about with Dawn a few minutes ago was the fact that a lot of people, not just seniors, but a lot of people just have their head in the sand about politics and current events and even some of the major things that are going on right now. And one of the things that she was talking about was the fact that it's really good to have a discussion with your peers, whether it's just your close friends or in a social situation or online, wherever, but to express to your peers your feelings and how they should be a little more conscious of what's going on as well.
Yes, definitely. I think that's part of our responsibility as citizens and as people, that live in this country. And again, for me, it goes back to just having a sense of responsibility, to do something to help improve the lives of others, to make this country better. And it starts really with these conversations with our neighbors and understanding what each of us are going through and understanding what some of the issues are. I believe it's a way that we can protect our democracy. Just by being engaged in, by voting, by keeping our elected officials accountable, by letting them know that that you and many others are indeed paying attention, that we are having these conversations. It's not just they're not operating in a silo or in an ivory tower, but there's people that are paying attention. I think for me that's really important, that the sense of protecting our democracy from someone that came from another country. I'm very grateful, of course, to to be in this country, to have an education, to have a law degree. And I just feel like whatever I can do to give back, to this, just for the opportunities that have been given, I'm going to do it.
What do you think that what is the biggest problem you think that is facing our seniors today?
I know there's a lot of issues right now, as many of them retire, they wonder whether or not they have enough saved up. They wonder whether or not, their Medicare is under attack. But I think the quality of life for our seniors is definitely an issue. For someone, I always go back to my mom, right? If she can't get dental work, or if she has problems with her hearing, or if she can't, have problems with her eyesight, she doesn't know if she can afford it, if she can afford to go see a doctor, if she can afford to go see students or, get lab tests done. I think that's something that's concerning for me. It's just the quality of life for our seniors. How are we treating them in their retirement age? I think that's a big thing. And just second, there's so much wealth of experience and wisdom, with my parents' generation, really the baby boomer generation, and I'm hoping they can continue to be engaged in our democracy by taking the time to volunteer in a campaign, by just being involved still in our democracy by voting, by knowing what's going on with our elected officials, as Don had mentioned, especially in my campaign, I have so many with so much experience, so much more life experience and wisdom than me, and I really rely on their counsel. And, I hope that's something that they can continue to be a part of.
After the fire truck goes by, first of all, do you think that the country, if democracy is at risk here in the country right now?
It is. As we look all, not just here in Hawaii, but as we look all out in this country, for one, voting rights is under attack. That's something sometimes we take for granted, but it's really a part of our democracy, that we exercise the right to vote, that we're aware of what the issues are, that, we're involved, in our civics. So definitely that's an issue. And second, for me, I believe just the undue influence of money in our political system, in our elections, in our elected leaders. I believe that does play in into what our priorities are as a country. So, and then just in connection with our seniors, right? When I'm thinking of Medicare issues, how come it doesn't cover dental, hearing, or vision? And that's always a question that we need to ask. These are the right things to do for our seniors. It's just making sure that they don't have to worry about these kinds of things. Just have to think, why doesn't Medicare cover these things? And I would say a lot of it goes back to money and politics and just really the lobbying groups that are out there that are influencing a lot of our elected officials.
Is redistricting an issue in Hawaii?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is redistricting an issue in Hawaii?
Every 10 years we redistrict the maps. So actually everyone is up for re-election, all our state senators and local House officials, everyone is up for re-election this year, which gives us a perfect opportunity to hold our elected leaders accountable. This election year, we have the governor's race is open, the lieutenant governor's race. Almost everyone at the ledge is up for re-election, and then also people in Congress. So we have a perfect opportunity here to really decide the direction that our country and our state should be going. And I hope every single one of us, we're aware of the issues, we're aware of who our elected leaders are, and we just don't simply get our ballot in the mail and check for the box that sounds familiar without us doing our homework. And that's really a part of our responsibility as voters. It's the least that we can do is that we do our due diligence.
One of the things Don talked about was the fact that it's really easy these days to submit testimony on bills to the legislature, and we actually gave an address that people can go to. It used to be kind of difficult. It was cumbersome to have to try and call on the phone and get the official's office and get the right line and submit your testimony that way. But now online, it's fairly easy to do. So she was urging people to get more involved by submitting testimony for bills that are important, like seniors getting better coverage on Medicare and that kind of issue. Do you have any other suggestions like that?
It's what's great about our seniors right now is that they have the time, they have the wisdom, sometimes they have the resources to be able to keep our elected officials accountable, to keep their feet to the fire. And of course, yes, providing testimony at the Capitol is perfect, whatever ways they can do that. But I would also ask, especially a lot of your listeners, just be involved in the campaign. Take the time to volunteer. Go out if you see an elected official sign waving or you see a candidate sign waving. Ask them the hard questions. Ask them where they stand on issues that impact seniors. And I think what this does is it sends a message that, your listeners are paying attention, that their friends are paying attention, and that our elected leaders, they can't operate without the eyes being on them. And it'll help keep them accountable. So those are my suggestions. It's just, be involved in the campaign, volunteer if you can, and especially this coming election cycle, ask your elected officials these hard questions, ask the candidates these hard questions. And definitely don't just vote without knowing who they are and what the issues they stand for.
Okay, I'll take your advice. What's the toughest question you're asked?
Oh gosh, there's so many. One of the things that people are asking me is, what do you bring new to the table? You're coming from outside the political establishment. How can I trust you? To do the right thing to make sure that you continue to fight for the people. For me, I think that's kind of hard because I know when it comes to policies, right, a lot of us can do our homework and look at different things. But I think the biggest thing for people is just trust. Do you trust your elected officials to do the right thing when no one is watching them or, when no one is holding them accountable? And, for me, I always say my heart is always in public interest. My heart is always in serving the community. That's where my career has been. And that's what I'll continue to do. Sometimes it's not that easy to relay, but that's at the heart of it is we need to trust our elected officials to do the right thing.
What when you're out campaigning or just appearing or meeting with other people in group settings, what kind of mood do you feel? What's the atmosphere? Are people really gung-ho about this election coming up, or are they complacent? Well, what's your feeling?
You know, there is a sense of apathy, of complacency, I think, that I do get that sense that, you know, people read headlines, people see what's going on in our local legislature, and they feel like there's really not much they can do, that it's just politics as usual, right? And that their vote may not matter. But at the same time, when I have the chance to talk to them, they're just letting them know why it's important that, you know, we're part of the political process, why we need to be engaged. I think there's still that sense of hope that, yes, things can get better, and that it's a sense of responsibility. Again, it's part of our civic responsibility to be involved in our local politics. But, I'm very optimistic in terms of, you know, when I speak with my neighbors and speak with people in the community, that the only way we can really impact change or make change to happen, you know, is if we stop, you know, doing the same things over and over again. But we decide to get engaged in the process, and we're out there voting, we're out there talking to our neighbors.
Do you, the other question I wanted to ask you was, do you feel that people here locally are looking at local issues primarily, or are they looking at the national issues overall?
I think it's both.
I'm talking about climate change and voters' rights and so on.
Yeah, I think it's both. When I speak to people on the phone, of course, they're concerned about our democracy. You know, they're concerned about, you know, stuff that they see in the news. You know, and we're a little bit fortunate here in Hawaii that sometimes, you know, with what we see on the continent, we may not always see here. But, you know, they see that racism and sexism is really destroying this nation. You know, they see that climate change is about to destroy this planet. And really, I feel like just more apathy and pessimism is unless we do something about it, it's really going to destroy Hawaii if we don't do something about it. But, you know, I think people, we always say politics is local, right? But I think people see what's going on across the country, and they wonder, are we really headed in the right direction?
Tell us about your family.
Okay, you know, as I had mentioned my son earlier, I have two children. My seven-year-old son, whose name is Sergio IV, he's in a second grade.
The fourth.
That's right. And my daughter, her name is Ina. She's 10 years old, and she's in fourth grade. They both attend Pearl Elementary School. You know, it's a school in our neighborhood, really great school. And my wife, Hiromi, she's a registered nurse at a urgent care clinic. So right now, I have to say thank you to her for letting me do this, for letting me run for office, because it is hard. As someone that's coming from outside establishment, it's not easy, you know, going out every single day. And it's really the time that, you know, we put in to run for office. But I think my wife sees the sacrifice, and I appreciate her sacrifice for letting me do this, because she knows how much I care about people and just really how much, you know, I think we can do to help each other and to help our community. So I want to thank her for her patience. And I told her the primary is August 13th, so we've got a few more months. But she's out there sign-waving with me as well. And, you know, my family, they're great. And my mom is here as well, helping me just door knocking and sign-waving as well.
How much, what would you say to people that are ignoring the current situation in the world, in the United States, about politics, the people that are not paying, or maybe not paying attention, or they're ignoring it on purpose? What do you say to them as the election nears?
You know, sometimes it's easy to turn our heads away. We see the headlines in the news, and a lot of us are busy. You know, some of us are working multiple jobs, or maybe some of your listeners, a lot of them would just rather spend time with their grandkids and with their family, just really not paying mind to what's going on. But again, it goes back to just, this is our sense of civic responsibility. We have a duty to protect our democracy by just being engaged in it, by keeping our elected officials accountable. You know, for your listeners, just think about your grandchildren. Think about you know, your own children. What kind of future are we leaving behind for them? But again, you know, we just can't simply turn our heads. And for me, that's really why I'm running. I feel a sense of responsibility that I have this education. I've been given this opportunity here to be in this country. And whatever I can do to give back and help improve the lives of my people in my community, and help improve the lives of others. And you know, I look at my kids and I just think, you know, it's really a sense of responsibility to them and to my wife that at the end of the day, that I can look them in the eye and I can, you know, tell them, hey, I tried my best. I wanted to leave a better community for you and a better world for you. And I gave it my all.
If you kind of project and look forward, say 10 years, 15 years from now, as far as Hawaii is concerned, what would you like to see have changed? Obviously, for the better.
Yes, as my kids are 10 and they're 7, I hope that they can stay here. You know, they're born and raised here. I hope that, you know, they have a sense of place here, that if they want to work here and buy a home here, that they're able to do so. That they don't always have to look to the continent for answers, that they don't have to look to the continent as a place for opportunity, or that, you know, they can't afford to buy a home here, so they have to move. I'm worried about that. You know, 10 years from now, I hope, you know, not just for my own children, but for, you know, for our grandchildren, mm-hmm. for your listeners, for their grandchildren, and just for their own families, that, you know, they don't get disconnected because some are having to move to the continent because it's too expensive to live here. And I know it's hard to see, that light at the end of the tunnel right now when we're looking at prices, you know, median home prices at $1 million, and just so many local families, just so many of my children's friends and their families have moved away, you know, during the last few years during this pandemic, just because it's been so hard for them. And I think about that, and you know, just really their connection to this land and to this place. It's being lost because a lot of them have no choice but to move off island and move to the continent.
How do you think Hawaii is doing overall with addressing climate change?
You know, as an island state, or we need to do more. We can lead the country in terms of what we're doing to combat climate change. I know we're making some good progress, but we need to do more. Especially, we're surrounded by ocean, right? And you know, as the storms get worse, and the impact of climate change continues to be felt all across the country. But for us, in our island home, I think we're going to feel it even more. And you know, our legislature, I understand they're really pushing. They're pushing for us to be fossil fuel free by 2050. But I think we could do more. And really showing this example to the rest of the world and to our own, to the other states, that Hawaii, you know, we're taking climate change seriously, and that, you know, we can really set the example.
Very good. We're going to have to wrap this up here in a second, but I want to thank you for being with us today. Anything else you want to leave with our listeners?
Alan, I want to thank you again for this time, but, you know, finally, just to your listeners, I want to say, let's stop being apathetic. Let's stop not paying attention, as Don has mentioned earlier. Instead, let's really start doing something to help improve our community. Do something for your neighbors, whatever that means. And politically, just because everyone is up for re-election this year, or this may be an important race, is that there's many candidates running this year for office. Ask them the hard questions. Find out where they stand on issues. You know, if they believe they're going to be of service to the community and they're aligned with your values, you know, volunteer for their campaign. But just more important, remember to vote in the August 13th primary. While voting rights are coming under attack in other states, let's remember that we have our own responsibility here in Hawaii come election time. And, you know, again, just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Sure. Do you have a way people can get in contact with you via social media and a website?
Yes, my website is sergioforhawaii.com. That's S-E-R-G-I-O, and then forhawaii.com. Also, my cell phone, my direct cell, if anyone wants to call me, I'd love to listen. It's 808-371-4805.
All right. Very good. I really have enjoyed talking with you this morning, Sergio. Appreciate it. good luck on your campaign, and best of luck here in the next year. You're going to be a busy guy.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the time. Thank you, Neil.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That was our guest today, and joining Don Webster earlier, that was Sergio Acubilia. I'll get that name right by November, I think. But anyway, thank you very much for listening this morning. It's been Generations Radio, our weekly show here, usually with Percy Ihara. Filling in today for Percy, I'm Malin Moore. Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next week.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
The combination of interest rates at near all-time lows and home values at near all-time highs create a great opportunity to get the most out of your home's built-up equity. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. If you are 60 or older, you might qualify for a reverse mortgage loan that could turn your equity into extra funds for retirement. Take a few minutes to visit with him about ways this plan could work for you. As a certified senior advisor and being certified in long-term care planning, he has helped many older homeowners just like you to retire more freely. Call him now at 808-234-3117. That's 808-234-3117. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.